Amen. Happy Mother's Day. She is like a superhero. Y'all give moms a hand. Y'all, good job. Man, what a great gift to be able to give today, just to sing about God's reckless love. Man, what a powerful song. And the praise team did such a great job with that. And so today is Mother's Day. It's a special day. And we want to honor the mothers. And, you know, it's a tough day for some people, but it's a special day. It's a very special day. We've got gifts. I hope that you ladies will take us up on this. We have gifts back in the back after the service. We want to put a gift in your hand. There was also a breakfast over here. I don't know if you partook of that, but I don't know if it's going to be there after the service. So just letting you know. But we want to do that just to honor you and just to kind of pay tribute to what you do and the role of being a mother. And so if you've got your outline, check them out. You can kind of follow along. And we want to speak to that role today. So someone special, a mother is someone special. You know, I heard someone posted this morning. I saw a friend of mine said, my mom's not a mother. She's a mama. And that's kind of like a mother on steroids. And I would agree with that. You know, I grew up in a home. I called my mom mama. You know, it was mama or mom or mother. And so the thing is you know, there's it's a special role. It's a special person. And it takes a special person to be able to handle all that goes with that. I wanted to read a list to you of some of the job responsibilities of a mom. And mothers, you can kind of chime in if this is true or not, but they're an alarm clock. They're an appointment scheduler. They're a banker, calendar keeper, chauffeur, cheerleader, chef, cook, chore delegator, coach, confidant, crossing guard, curfew warden, entertainer, expectation manager, fashion stylist, hairdresser, homework advisor, hostess, housekeeper, hygiene consultant, internet safety monitor, juggler, judge, laundry operator, lost and found attendant, meal planner, nurse, paramedic, party planner, peacekeeper, personal assistant, photographer, potty trainer, prayer partner, purchasing agent, recreation director, referee, relational specialist, relationship specialist, repair person, seamstress, secretary, shipping receiving agent, snuggler, storyteller, teacher, transportation coordinator, travel agent, and waitress. Is that pretty accurate? That's a lot, isn't it? That is a superhero. Man, kryptonite can't stop some of that stuff. That's crazy, man, what all a mother does, and sometimes unappreciated. So let's take a look at the first one here. A mother needs to feel appreciated. Amen, moms? Yeah, you better do better than that. So there you go. Yes. So a mother needs to feel appreciated. Everybody needs an attaboy every once in a while. Just someone to pat you on the back and say, hey, you're doing a good job. Or, hey, thank you for what you do. But a mother needs to feel appreciated. I spent some time this week talking with some moms, kind of get their feedback. Because I'm not a mother, and I wanted their perspective. And I wanted to know what are some of the things. And in our conversations, this was one of the things that was evident. A mother needs to feel appreciated. And here's the thing. Scripture indicates that's what you should do. And so we want to look at Scripture. This is Proverbs 31, 28 through 31. It says, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. And there are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. And so here Scripture is saying that is our responsibility to encourage and to bless and to even acknowledge the mother in our life. You know, our mom, if you're here today, you've got a mom. I don't know if you figured that out, but you got a mom. And you might say, well, my mom wasn't that great of a mom or whatever. And we're going to look at that. But the thing is, we're all broken vessels. We're all in need of repair. We're all in need of a Savior. And so the thing is a mother, and this is Proverbs 31. And oftentimes women don't really like Proverbs 31 because the bar is set so high. They go, you know, who could live up to that? But the thing is whenever there is a fear of the Lord, when there is a mom who loves Jesus, man, and allows Jesus to be lived out through her, the Bible is very clear. Man, give her praise. You know, let her works and her deeds, you know, speak as a testimony of that. And then here in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, for us as children, it says, obey your parents, because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. You ever wonder what the right thing is to do? The Bible tells you pretty often, doesn't it? Hey, if you want to know what God's perfect will is, this is it. And here's the thing, hey, do the right thing, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And if you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you or for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. So for us, those of us in here that are kids or children or whatever, one of the things the Bible teaches us is honor your mother and your father. That's not just going out and buying a gift, even though I promise you she wants one, right? I mean, she wants a gift, and you know, and so today you will honor her. Maybe you'll take her to lunch. You know, maybe you'll buy her a meal. Maybe you got it this morning, brought her breakfast in bed or something like that. Or maybe you got her a gift, you know, and it's something that she can enjoy later on. But the thing is honor is more than just that gift. Honor is something that you do with your life. Honor your mother and your father with your life. How you live, the decisions you make, how you treat others. That's one of the greatest gifts we could give to our parents or to our mom, is that we would love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we would love others the same way. We would love God with everything that's in us, and then we would love others the way we love ourselves. And so if we were to do that, it's one of the greatest gifts we could give to our parents. And so if you're a child in here, and you are, and you say, hey, listen, man, I want to honor my parents, I want to honor my mother and my father, then it's how you love God has a lot to do with that. And so look at this next passage. This for us speaks to the husbands. It says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. We talked about that last week. We're the church. As believers, as followers of Christ, we're the church. And so we talk about the love that Christ had for the church. Husbands, understand this. Our job is to love our wives as Christ loved the church, to serve her, to care for her, and to show appreciation every chance we can. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. And this is a great mystery, but is an illusion, is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And so here, scripture is teaching us and telling us as men, hey, do what you can to show your love for your wife. And you know, one of the things we often talk about around here is the five love languages. And you need to know what the love language is of your wife. You know, I tell people this all the time. You know, I said, my love language is touch, physical touch, and words of affirmation. And so I always expect Laurie to speak my love language. But the thing is I often speak to her in my love language. I'll tell Laurie how beautiful she is, how much I love her. But her love language is acts of service. She wants me to do the dishes. She wants me to help with the clothes. She wants me to help clean up. Those are the things. So when I do that, she goes, he loves me. But I'm telling her, hey, man, you're beautiful. I love you. You know, you're a great mom and all this stuff. Well, that's not her love language. That's mine. And we have this tendency of teaching and speaking into someone else's life in our love language. And so, you know, Laurie is saying, hey, listen, acts of service and gifts. She loves gifts. And so if you don't know what your spouse's love language is, you need to figure out what that might be. It may be quality time or acts of service or gifts or physical touch or words of affirmation. You need to know what that is. And then when you speak to them and you show appreciation, you do it in a way that it is their language. Does that make sense? So that they go, you know what? He loves me. He does appreciate me. And so that's something we need to work at, is being able to speak that love to them and let them know how much we love them and appreciate them. All right, look at this next one. It says, a mother doesn't want to feel like she has to ask for help. Can y'all tell that I talked to some moms this week? Yeah, I hear yeah. And some of the dads are like, man, why is he covering that? But anyway, here's the thing. The Bible says that we should help. Look at what it says in Proverbs 3:27-28. It says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. And we do that, don't we? Because we're so selfish. A lot of times we put off helping someone. You know that someone needs help. You know that they need, you know, help with something. And you're like, man, I don't really want to deal with that right now. You know, it's not my favorite thing to do. I got to joke around. I don't like painting. You know, painting is one of those things that I just don't like doing. And, you know, there's times when people are painting and I will help because I feel like the Bible says to, but not because I want to. You know what I'm saying? But that's the selfishness in me. I mean, that's just me being selfish. I like, you know, there's certain things, like somebody calls you in the middle of the night and they're going, hey, listen, hey, can you bring me some gas? And you're going, is there somebody else closer? I mean, that's what we do, isn't it? We really want somebody else to go. Now, we may get up and go, but we're thinking, man, I wish somebody else would do that. I wish somebody else would go and take care of that. But the Bible says, if you can help, then help. If you can do something for somebody, then do something for somebody. And so let me just say this to some of the kids in here, or some of us children. If you can help your mom, why not help her? That's what the Bible says. Now, don't put it off till tomorrow. Remember, delayed obedience is still disobedience. And so if your mom asks you to help something or take the trash out or do something, do it is what the Bible says. And so moms don't want to feel like they have to ask. You know, there's times where, you know, Laurie may want me to do something. And I tell people, you know, I tell people this all the time. Men are not the best at getting hints. I think most ladies have probably figured it out. But the thing is a woman wants to kind of drop a few hints so that maybe he'll figure it out and do it and it'll be his decision and she doesn't have to ask. But I'm just telling you, a lot of guys don't get it. You know, I mean, just better just come out and say, hey, this is what I want. Like, hey, what do you want? Where do you want to go out to eat? I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. And you're like, yeah, it does. So why don't you just tell me where you want to go so I don't have to ask and say, well, do you want Mexican? Well, I'm not feeling like Mexican today. Well, do you want Chinese? No, I just had Chinese last night. Well, what do you want? Why don't you tell me? You know, so here's what I'm saying is don't hope that your husband is going to figure it out or even your kids, you know, but just tell them, hey, this is what I need rather than, and I know you don't want to ask, but just tell them. You don't have to ask. Just tell them, hey, I need you to do this. You're not asking then, right? You're telling them what to do. So a mother doesn't want to feel like she has to ask. All right, so let's shift the gears a little bit here. A mother has to be careful with her focus. A mother has to be careful with her focus. You know, today is a great day. Today is an awesome day because we get to celebrate the role of mother, you know, and just the fact that, you know, God has blessed you with life. Now, here's the thing. For some in this room, it is a tough day. Some of you, your mother has already passed away. This morning, my son was telling me that one of his classmates, her grandmother passed away this morning. Makes it tough. You know, my mom, you know, she went to be with the Lord nearly 14 years ago. And it was getting close to 15 years ago. And it was a tough day for me. I'm a mama's boy. And it was a tough day for me. For some of us, it can be a tough day. But here's the thing. It's because of what we focus on. There's some who want to be mothers that God has not answered that prayer yet. You know, and the thing is God may have a different plan. Are we okay with that? And so for many of you in the room, this can be a tough day. But it can be a day of celebration. And I want to kind of point to some scripture that tells us how that happens. It says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. You know, the things that we talk about in here on Sundays and that we talk about in Bible study, and we talk about in life group, are the things that will last forever. So for many of the moms in here, you know, I know sometimes mothers have a tendency to worry or to fret. And that's not what the Bible teaches us to do. That may be what the world says we're supposed to do. And sometimes there'll even be a playing off of each other and even working each other into a frenzy. And that's really not scriptural. You know, the thing is we're to focus on, hey, what is God doing here? What is God trying to teach me? And so we have to be careful that we don't focus on the wrong things. And so a couple of statements here. We shouldn't focus on the troubles. There's troubles in your life. There's going to be troubles that will come into your life. There's going to be storms that will blow into your life. You know, and I think sometimes we have this mentality as Christians that we think, well, you know, what is wrong? I mean, I am reading God's Word. I am going to church. I'm doing the right things. Why are there troubles? The Bible says there will be troubles. It says that there will be challenges. There will be storms that will blow into your life. And for whatever reason, we have this mentality that, hey, man, if I'm really doing the right things, everything's going to be hunky-dory. And that's not what it says. The Bible says that it may cost you your life to follow Christ. So why do we go through life expecting everything to be a bed of roses whenever Scripture says that is not it? That may be our want, but that is not reality. The Bible says that there will be challenges and there will be troubles. But don't focus on those troubles. You know, what we do is we get so fixated and so focused on whatever the trouble may be or the challenge may be rather than the God who is over that. And so the second thing is that we are to focus on the one who can handle our troubles. And so, Mom, one of the things that you have to be careful about is that your focus is not so much on your troubles that you become part of the anxiety in your home. You become the one that becomes the pressure in your home. But if anything, your children, your husband, the people in your family need to be able to look to you and say, you know what, that her focus is on Christ. Her focus is on the one who can handle the troubles that are coming. And there are troubles going to come, don't get me wrong. And so here's another thing that I think is important. Our focus affects how we lead. Our focus affects how we lead. And so the thing is as a dad, as a mom, as a child, it doesn't matter. Our focus will affect what kind of leader we will be. And so if our focus is on the negative all the time, we'll be a very negative leader. If our focus is on the positive, we'll tend to be a positive leader. And so our focus will affect how we lead. It's kind of like driving down the road. If you're driving down the road and you're focused on the road, but if you tend to start looking over your shoulder and you tend to start looking at other things and focusing on other things, you're not driving real well. It's the same way as a leader. And so we have to be careful that we're focused on what matters most. And what this scripture here was saying is it's the eternal things. So mom, let me ask you, do you lead your family well from the perspective that when things come up and troubles arise, that you look to the Lord? Do they see in you someone who, you know, they don't go into panic mode, they don't go into freak out mode, but they go into prayer mode, or they begin to say, you know what, God has got this, God is in control. Because how we lead is how, the thing is how our kids will respond. And so think about this, you know, for me, there's things in my life that my dad may have done that I was like, you know, I don't want to be like that. But because it was what was modeled for me, there's times I'll catch myself doing what I didn't even want to be, or doing what I didn't want to do. And there's other things that were the right things. I do duplicate those things because it was what was modeled for me. And so as a mom or as a dad, if you want your kids praying, then you need to pray. If you want them involved in church, you need to be involved in church. If you want them walking with God, then you need to walk with God. Because they are looking to you as a model and will often literally mimic what you do. Christian and I were joking about this yesterday, my youngest one, because I tend to sleep with my arm under my pillow, and I sleep on a pillow. And Christian goes, is it your left arm? I was like, yeah. He goes, I do the same thing. And right now my left shoulder is jacked up. You know, as you get older, you've thrown too many balls and stuff. And I said, it's bothering me. He said, well, great. I'll probably have that shoulder problem. And probably so. But there's things that we pass on that we don't even know that we pass on. So mom, let me ask you, are you passing on a faith in God when troubles come? Are you passing on peace in the midst of the storm? Or is it anxiety? Look at this passage here. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now hold on, just look at what it says. Of any kind. When troubles of any kind come your way. Not just spiritual seeming stuff. Troubles of any kind. So do you count it all joy? Consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. If you need wisdom, ask your generous God and He will give it to you. If He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. And so here it's saying, hey, listen, man, no matter what the trouble is, count it joy. So if you got a flat tire, you go, man, awesome, dude, we got a flat tire. I get a new tire today. Maybe that's why you look at, man, the washing machine broke down. You know what? Hey, no big deal. This is awesome. We get to kind of do things different. I get to wear some clothes maybe I hadn't worn in a while or whatever. Whatever it might be, but you find joy in that situation. And some of y'all are going, man, that's crazy. Man, that is delusional. What is he thinking? But what the Bible is saying, hey, listen, you find joy, there's something in there. And no matter what's going on, you know what? God is trying to teach me something. And if anything, it says, hey, your endurance, that you can persevere, that you can press on, and it's not the end of the world. You know, the power goes off. You don't have to hit freakazoid mode, man. You can literally say, you know what? It's all right. We got candles. We got flashlights. We can handle this. And so the thing is, mom, let me ask you, do you lead with that type of mentality? Look at what it says in this next passage, one of my favorite passages. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. You might want to underline that. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. If your house needs peace, maybe your focus needs to change. Maybe you need to focus on God and what He's doing. Focus on what He's provided. Focus on the blessings. You know, I talk to a lot of people who are on different medications. And let me just say this. Medicines are a good thing. They're a gift from above. God has given us medicines that help with our hearts and help with our cholesterol and different things like that. But here's the thing. There are some things that we go to because we can't deal with the anxiety. We can't deal with whatever's going on. And so what we have a tendency to do is we look for something to help with that. And I think that that gets abused. There are some people who need medicine to help with certain physiological things that are going on in your body. But here's the thing. Too much of it gets abused. And maybe instead of going to some substance, whether it be alcohol, whether it be a drug or whatever it might be, what if we were to go to God's Word? Because the Bible says it brings healing to the bones. But instead of going to something other than God's Word, but we come here and we go, you know, God, help me to focus. And God, give me peace. God, help me to focus on these things that are praiseworthy. God, help me to focus on the things in my life that You are working on. God, that I can see Your hand. I can see Your hand of blessing. But rather than going to all these other things out there, God, I come to You first. See, that's leading in the right way. Now, there may be some things that we need physiologically. Our body needs it. Physically, we need it in order to function. Our bodies need that. And God will make clear of that. And so that's where your physician comes in. You make sure you go into a good Christian physician who is giving you the right things. But here's what I would say is don't let that get abused in your life. It's rampant in our society. It is rampant in our society whenever God is saying, hey, listen, instead of going for some substance, why don't you go for the substance that lasts forever? Find peace in Him and who He is. Here's a great passage here. Moses and the people, kind of picture this. Moses and the people are kind of trapped between the Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh and his army and his chariots, you know, with their swords and spears. And I always think back to the Ten Commandments. I don't know about you, but that's what I think back to. And I think about what it must have been like whenever they looked, hey, we're trapped here beside, you know, the sea. And I remember in the movie, you know, the Pharaoh literally says, he goes, this God of Moses is not much of a general, or something like that. He's led them into a trap. You know, and so that it always pops into my mind. But there's a verse that is said here. Look at what it says. It says, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today will never see again. And the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. That's easy to read, but can you imagine if you're standing there and you've got the ocean behind you or the Red Sea behind you and you've got an army bearing down on you? Can you imagine what would be going through your mind? And yet Moses said, hey, listen, be still. Be still. And for some of us, it is hard to be still. When things aren't going as we had hoped, we start wigging out and we start stressing out everybody in the family. Rather than being a source of peace, and maybe speaking life over the family and being able to, hey, kind of help refocus. Hey, guys, let's focus on what is working right. Hey, let's focus on what God has done. Maybe if we were to work at maybe having a better focus on the things of God, it would maybe bring some peace into our family, into our home. And so here, again, like I said, Moses said, hey, listen, just be still. And I'll go ahead and tell you, in my mind, as I think through that, I'm thinking I'm going to try to get into some rocks. I want to try to get in a position where I can at least defend myself, you know, and I'm just thinking from my perspective. But yet, Moses, hey, listen, just watch what God will do and be still. Man, that went against everything that is in them. I mean, it went against everything that is in them. But that is what God is saying to some of you today. I know you're fretting over this. I know you're stressing over this. But listen, just be still and watch what I can do. He said, hey, be still and watch what I can do. That's what God is saying to you. And sometimes we don't focus on what He can do. We focus on what the world has to say. We focus on what the devil is trying to tell us. We're under attack. I had a young family this past week. A lady said, you know, I'm trying to really live for God. And she said, man, I'm really trying to give everything to God. She said, but it seems like all these great moments with God, the next day it's like an attack by Satan. And I said, that's his job. Satan's job is to attack. And if we're walking with Christ, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier, Jesus says, you better prepare for a battle. There's armor that we're to put on. Paul addressed it. Hey, make sure you're putting on the armor of God. You're prepared for the battles because they will come. But it's how we deal with them and how and what focus we have during those battles that will make the difference. And so here's another one, this last part here. So the mother doesn't always want to be the leader. A mother doesn't always want to be the leader. There's often times that a mother wants the dad to step in to take the lead on something. The husband to take the lead. You know, I've always said this, you know, whenever you're at a church where there are men that are leading and men, they're actively involved, they're engaged in the mission of the church, it's a healthy church and it's a growing church. But too often men, you know, we tend to look at our responsibility, our role, and we go, you know, man, I don't feel like I'm good enough to be the spiritual leader. I don't know enough about the Bible. You know, I don't know enough about how to be a man of God. Well, then learn. You know, then learn. Then put yourself in a situation where you can learn that. But your wife, you know, the mother of your children, she wants you to be the spiritual leader. That is your responsibility. That's what God wants of you. And so what happens too often, though, is, you know, we just kind of get overwhelmed with that. We feel like it's too much. Kind of like when the women look at Proverbs 31, they go, man, how can you live up to that? It's the power of God at work in you that does that. It's not what you do in your own strength. It's not what you can bring to the table. It's what God can do through us. And so a mother doesn't always want to be the leader. Look at this passage here. It says, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. All right, this is out of Ephesians talking about Spirit-led relationships again. And further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And for a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. And so, every time I read that passage, I almost feel like there's a tension in the room. You know, like, kind of gets a little tight in here. That is not a male chauvinist statement there. I hope you understand that. That is a Christ statement there. And so, it may not be the pattern of this world, but we're not trying to live up to the pattern of this world according to what we say when we surrender to Christ. We're trying to live according to the pattern that God has given us in His Word. And so, what it's saying there is that it's a mutual submission that honors Christ. It's not, hey, the husband's going to lord it over his wife. He's going to tell her what to do, and she better do a good job of it. You know, hey, jump to it. You better snap. You know, when I snap my fingers, you better move. That's not the mentality at all. And it's not that she is subservient to you, that she is less than you in any way, but it is a mutual submission that honors Christ. I had an uncle, I've shared this before, I had an uncle that he was a pastor in a kind of a different denomination. And anyway, he lorded his position as the husband over his whole family. And I was not a Christian. I didn't become a Christian until I was 19 years old. I got saved at the age of 19. And I can remember going to visit them at their house. And he would sit on the front porch. And his wife and his kids waited on him hand and foot. I mean, it was like whatever he said. You know, it was, hey, go get this, go get that, go get this, go get... And I can remember thinking, man, that's the laziest human I've ever seen in my life. And I wasn't a Christian, and I remember thinking, man, if that's Christianity, I don't want that. You know, and I'm a guy, I mean, but it was just so subservient mentality. It was not what Christ intended at all. But here's the thing, it was being abused and manipulated to make it work to his advantage, but it was not God-honoring. And so the thing is when we look at this, I hope you understand that this is a mutual submission to one another. You're seeking to submit to one another. And the other thing is, it says here, different roles doesn't mean inequality. Different roles doesn't mean inequality. You know, if you take a football team, now we sometimes, if we're armchair quarterbacks, we want to put more blame and more power and more whatever on certain positions, but it takes the whole team to be a football team. We may want to kind of point to the quarterback position, we may want to point to the running back position, you know, but the thing is, it takes that whole team to be a team. All those roles are important. And if one of them is left out, the whole team will pay the price. And so the thing is different roles doesn't mean inequality. They're all football players. They're all on the same team. And so in the home, you have the husband. And here's the thing. He is the umbrella of protection over the wife. And that, you might say, well, I don't know if I like that. Well, that's what Jesus said. These are the words of Christ. It's not the pattern of this world. It's what Christ tells us. And the thing is, if we don't lord it over our wife, like I was joking with Laurie, there's a passage where it talks about where Sarah is, you know, is talking about Sarah being submissive to Abraham, and she even called him master and said, hey, Laurie, what you think about, calling me master. She's like, I don't think so. So that wasn't going to fly. I knew it wouldn't. If you know my wife, you know that ain't going to fly. But the thing is, it's not about being, over someone. It's about caring for someone. It's about loving them. When we read where it talks about loving our wives, we love them like Christ loved the church. Christ is over the church. I mean, He loves it. He gave His life for it. He pours out His Spirit on this place. His desire is that all people would come to know Him. I mean, God, He loves the church. And so that's our role as a husband, is to care for her. And here's the thing. She shouldn't have to lead all the time. It says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. There's where honor's at. It's not about honoring you, it's about honoring her. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are physically, is what that's talking about, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. So don't ever look down on your wife. Don't ever look like, hey, my role, I'm supposed to be submissive. You are in a way that is equal and honoring of God. It says, treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. So what it's telling the men there, hey men, if you're treating your wife the way that Christ tells us to, you know what? Man, your prayers will have a better chance of being heard and, here's the thing, responded to. But if you're not treating your wife the way that you should, if you're not caring for her, if you're not ministering to her, if you're not helping her, if you're not doing the things that Christ did for the church, then your prayers will be affected. There's a great statement here. It says, the point is, she ought not have to feel that she is constantly doing the initiating, prodding to get the man to talk about things that need to be talked about, plan things that need to be planned, and do things that need to be done. What that's saying is, guys, we need to take the initiative. If we want to honor her, then we lead our family well. If we want to honor her, then we do what Christ tells us to do. If we want to honor her, then we love God with everything that's in us. And let me just say this. If you want to honor your mom, if you want to honor her, then do what the great commandment says, is to love God with everything that is in you. Love Him with your heart, with your mind, with your soul, with everything that's in you, all the strength that you have, that you love God. You love God and you love people. And let me tell you, if that will go further than anything. It doesn't matter how many PhDs you hang on your wall, but here's the thing, is if you love God with everything that's in you, you will honor your mother. You will honor your mother. You will honor your father if you love them that way. And let me just say this, moms, maybe that's what you need to do. You want your kids to honor you? Then maybe you ought to love God with everything that's in you. That you go, you know what, I want to be that mom that loves God with everything that is in me. That I want to love God with all of my strength, all of my mind, all of my heart, all of my soul, everything that's in me. And I want to love other people. I'm going to quit talking about people. I'm going to quit belittling people. I'm going to quit shaming people. And I'm going to start finding the good in situations. I'm going to find the positive in every day. And I'm going to count it joy whenever we do have a trial or a tribulation. And I'm not going to have a come apart every time. Mom, that's the way you lead your family. And so I would just challenge you and say, you know what, God, help me to lead my family in that way. And here's the thing, they will honor you. It goes back to what Proverbs said. They will stand and shout your praises for what kind of godly woman you are. There's a couple of next steps here for me today. One is to honor my mother and father. Maybe that's you. You say, you know what? Today I choose to honor my mother and my father with my life. Not with just a gift, but with my life. Here's the second one. To look for ways to help my mother with her many tasks. You heard me call off, and that's probably not an exhaustive list, but those are some of the things. What are some of the things that you could do today to help your mom with some of her many tasks? As a child, you might say, well, Mike, I'm grown. What's something you can help your mom with? Here's the third thing. To bless my family by focusing on God and not my troubles. Just some simple steps. God, change my focus. God, I want You to be the focus of my life. And God, I want my focus on You to literally be a leadership tool in my family. I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And just ask God, God, what do You want to do today? God, what steps should I take today? Maybe you're here and you go, you know what? I haven't done a good job of honoring my mom and my dad. I've stressed them out. I've caused them to worry. I've embarrassed them. Maybe today you just take ownership of that and you say, God, I want to ask You to forgive me of that. God, I want to live in a way that honors my mom and my dad. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. You've never received Christ for salvation. You've never been saved. Let me tell you, there's nothing that'll put a smile on your mom or your dad's face like knowing that their child is in a right relationship with God. You have to make that decision for you because it's a personal decision. It's a personal relationship. But that decision, I promise you, will make a mom or a dad proud. So maybe that's you today. You're here and you say, you know what, Mike, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to make a decision to accept Christ. I want to surrender my life to who Jesus is. And so maybe, if that's you, you feel like it's the right time. For me, I was 19 when I made that decision, but it changed my life. I knew that I was His. I knew that I was saved. And so maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. I want to give you that opportunity. It's as simple as it says, Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. Jesus, I believe that You can save me. Jesus, I believe that You can change me. God, You can change me into a person that does honor his mother and father. Jesus, I believe. And so with all the faith that you have, you just say, Jesus, I want to ask You to forgive me of the sins I've committed. And Jesus, I want to quit living the way I've been living. I want to follow You. I want to love You with my life. That's repentance. And just say, Jesus, I give You all that I am by faith right now. If that is your prayer, if that is sincere prayer of your heart, the Bible says you will be saved. And you become a part of the family of God. And I can promise you this, you'll become a blessing to your mother and to your father. You may even become a witness to them. You may be the one that will lead them to Christ one day. There may be others in here that may have just kind of drifted off. Maybe your focus has been on all your troubles. Maybe today you say, God, help me to focus on what matters most. God, help me to focus on You. God, help me to focus on what You are doing. God, help me to focus on how You can provide. God, help me to focus on what You have already done. God, help me to see the blessings in my life. God, change my focus today. Let me walk out of here with peace. And let me be the one who brings peace into my home by my trust in You, by my faith in You. God, I want to be that vessel of peace. Father, I thank You for meeting with us today. God, we thank You for these mothers. God, we thank You for how You use them, the tenderness that they bring to our lives. God, I pray for every mother in here, God, that she would walk out here today knowing that she has a relationship with You through her Son, through Your Son, Jesus Christ. God, that she would accept Christ, she would live for Him, and she would be that light in her home. God, I pray for the men in this room, God, that those of us that are believers, God, that we would lead our homes well. We would take some of the burden off of our wife. And we would look for ways to show our appreciation, not just one day a year, but every day of the year. God, thank You for the blessings. God, thank You for the people that You have put in our life. God, I pray that You would use us this week as a blessing in the lives of others. Help us to love You with everything that's in us and to love others as well. In Jesus' name, amen.